You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
So put down that job plan and listen to us.
Link Employment Services line. You're calling about a pay...
I'd first like to acknowledge that this program is being broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri of the Kulin Nation, so their sovereignty was never ceded, and we want to pay our respects to the elders past, present and emerging. And we also acknowledge that the unfairness of the welfare system disproportionately affects First Nations people.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. So we've got a packed show tonight, and I hope everyone's doing well out there. So I'm Jessica, and I'm presenting tonight. And so we've got a bit going on. The first thing is, of course, last week we started up our advocacy line, which is where you can call any day, Monday to Friday, 10 till 2, on 1-800-289-848, and you can speak to one of our volunteers, and then you can just get advice about dealing with Centrelink, the job centres, and so on. So, yeah, there's a bit going on. As we've been talking about in the last few shows, there's been a big kerfuffle with the changeover from the Disability Employment Services to Inclusive Employment Australia, which is the rebranding. And so I've got a bit of info on that. Someone's being put through the mill in that process. And then a little bit of a shocking story, which is about Services Australia looking for ways to sort of data match people who are on payments with law enforcement authorities. So, yeah, shades of the USA or who knows what. Anyway, that's unfortunately the news of last week that just came out. And then we've got a bit of, I'm going to, on a regular basis in the show, be putting on Blast from the Past. So depending on how much time we have, I've got a couple of blasts from the past about unemployed activism, one from the 20s and 30s, and then one from back in the 80s. So interesting show, and I'll be giving you a bit more detail on all these stories. And of course, if you didn't catch that number, you can just easily just Google Australian Unemployed Workers Union Advocacy Line, and you can pick that number up, because I know that it's not ideal to be reading out a phone number on radio. It can tend to drive you a bit mad. And all right, we'll go to a couple of community service announcements, and then I'll give you a few more details on this.
Has Centrelink made a decision you disagree with? Most Centrelink decisions can be appealed up to 3 times. Examples of decisions you can appeal include whether you're eligible for a payment, cancellation or suspension of your payment, how much you get paid, and Centrelink debts. One of the most common Centrelink decisions appealed are Centrelink debts. Centrelink will say you owe a debt if the staff determine you've been paid more than you should have. Debts can occur for a variety of reasons. In some instances, if there's been an administrative error or if you have special circumstances, you may not have to repay that debt. The appeal process is free, but time limits can apply and will affect your entitlement to back payment. Social Security Rights Victoria is a specialist community legal centre providing Victorians free advice to help you understand your Centrelink issues and the appeal processes. You can contact Social Security Rights Victoria on 9481 0355 or online at ssrv.org.au. The Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
The law is part of our everyday lives, including when we buy something, use a service, have a job, or rent a house. The law can be used to help protect and support families when there is violence in the home or disputes over parenting arrangements. Sometimes we might need to understand the law to navigate specific government systems like Centrelink, getting a residency visa, or if we come into contact with the police. Community legal centres provide free, quality legal advice and assistance to help people with everyday legal problems. We focus on working with people who are experiencing disadvantage, such as financial hardship, family violence, homelessness, and discrimination. Community legal centres are independent, non-government organisations and can be found across Victoria and Australia. If you're experiencing a legal problem, your local community legal centre may be able to help. To find a community legal centre near you, visit the Federation of Community Legal Centres Victoria at www.fclc.org.au. A 3CR supporter.
Yes, so this is Jessica from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union, and you're listening to Breadline on Wonderful 3CR. And so I'm talking a little bit about the changeover, which is basically a rebranding of the Disability Employment Services to Inclusive Employment Australia. And so Disability Employment Services, for listeners who aren't familiar with it, it's a service that you have to interact with if you're getting disability payments. And in some cases, you can really not have much to do with them at all, but a lot of people do have requirements to apply for jobs, go on courses, do volunteer work, all that sort of thing. And this is where the job centre versions come in. So this is a message that someone put on one of the Facebook pages where people sort of deal with these issues. And so they're saying, this is the second week of active IEA, and I'm wondering if anyone else is having, in quotes, teething problems. So what happened before this was that they allowed a sort of a suspension of all these obligations, such as looking for jobs, because of the changeover to the new system. And so this is about this. Due to a Centrelink processing issue, I was forced to have an appointment with the new provider early in December and sign a job plan. He pushed for another appointment in the following fortnight. I asked him to observe the suspension of obligations and make it after the 6th of Jan. Nope. He made an appointment for the 23rd of December. I did not attend as I was working that day. On the 6th of Jan, I received an SMS, an email from Workforce Australia, saying that as I'm self-employed, I do not need to see a provider anymore. Great. Just had a phone call with a new provider and he knows nothing about this and insists I have to keep having appointments as he has not finalised my hours for self-employment. A phone appointment at noon yesterday, this was posted mid-Jan, My young granddaughter was waiting for me to take her for a swim and we sat testing her patience until 12:20. He rang at 12:30 and again at 3:30 when I was driving and could not pull over to take the call. Overnight, I received two emails advising of new appointments hours apart on 27th of Jan. Apparently, the system just makes the appointments when he's looking for a time to book the appointment. I'm calling BS on this. One appointment has now been cancelled, but the email doesn't say which appointment. I have anxiety issues dealing with this ridiculous system. Makes it worse, FFS. So, yeah, so some kind of automated system is just spewing out appointment details. And, of course, that's bad enough, but if you don't make appointments, there's a potential for your payments to be cut off or not cut off, possibly suspended, or in some places cancelled, which means you've got to reapply again. So not good enough. And, you know, people have been commenting online, you know, is this rebranding actually going to make any difference? And, again, it's the tyranny of the automated systems, and it's what we talk about a lot on Breadline, which is that a profit is made by these privatised companies every time they send you out an automated message. Like, for example, with this person in the middle of the night, they got it two appointments. So first thing, they woke up in the morning to find these two appointments and they're not sure which one is actually the one they're meant to go to. So what can you say about that except a lot of scream silently? But yeah, once again, if you are having trouble with this kind of thing, we are collecting data for this. So ring us, or else if you can't face getting on the phone after hassles, you can always email us at advocacy@auwu.org.au. Because, you know, once, if we can collect a few examples like the one I'm just talking about, we can compile that into a bit of a list, which will then, we then can, you know, kick up a fuss with the various politicians who may be listening, or anyone, or to the media, etc. So, yeah, so it goes on. So this person who I'm just talking about, they didn't get any rest over Christmas. They were getting messages right from the 23rd of December right up till the 27th of January. Yeah, not good. Not good enough. So the other thing, the other story which has just come up, which is, again, pretty shocking, came up last week, and it's from publication IT News. And the headline is, Services Australia to tap law enforcement data for staff security. So it's tied in with a bill that unfortunately, an amendment to a bill which unfortunately passed last year. And that amendment made it possible for the police to look into cancelling people's Centrelink payments for if they were on bail for certain antisocial violent offences. Well, of course, immediately we kicked up a fuss, all of the groups like the Australian Unemployed Workers Union, the Anti-Poverty Centre, and said, surely if people are on bail, it doesn't mean that they're proved guilty of any of these, of the charges that they're on bail for. So that's a basic unfairness. And two, we pointed out that if Centrelink payments, if it's a family situation and one person in the family is having their Centrelink payments cancelled, then it means that that would possibly affect their dependents. So not good at all. So as part of this, we suspect that the government is using this as this new sort of police Centrelink connection to look at a new staff security system. So they're planning to deploy a new intelligence and investigation system that will allow it to cross-reference customer data with information held by law enforcement and other third-party sources. So, once again, I mean, of course, the reason is to keep people safe in the workplace, which we would completely support. But the worrying thing is about that access to the information being shared, and really it's a case of how do they know, really, even by cross-referencing data, if someone has a potential to go a bit crazy in the office. It still doesn't mean, if they cross-reference data, that the person is going to do that. So unfortunately, at a previous violent incident, they were found to be liable, and so then the government allocated $314 million in 2024 to boost security. So one of the 44 recommendations of their review was to boost internal security capabilities. But last week they published these tender documents for a new system, and their tender documents reveal that it expects their new investigation and intelligence management system, IIMS, because, you know, government bureaucrats love acronyms, to provide a comprehensive security information platform, including the ability to cross-reference sensitive customer information with law enforcement data. So, of course, there's a whole lot of wording there about how it's going to provide an integrated framework, blah, blah, blah. And I won't sort of drive you mad by reading all of that out. But, again, a very worrying development in terms of the government's capability to, first of all, through the passing of this amendment last year, actually cut people's payments altogether, and this could be a family payment, but also can they really predict, you know, what person, even going on the record they have of people, what behaviour people will, have inside, say, an office. So this publication, IT News, approached Services Australia with a series of questions around the privacy exemptions and guidelines for implementing this new system, and how many staff would have access to the new system. And the Services Australia spokesperson said that the agency was unable to respond until February, when the tender is scheduled to close to new bidders. So once again, that sort of answer that you get, which is a sort of non-answer. And Yeah, so we'll be following this one very closely. They're talking about, for example, with the system integrating door locks, duress alarms, CCTV cameras, again, with the potential that if someone had, you know, say a red flag against them for one of these cross-reference security issues, that they could possibly be denied, you know, access to an office. And as we've talked about before on Breadline, often but the phone you could be hanging on for an hour and a half, or multiple times in a day. So often going into the office is pretty important. And we also talk a lot on Breadline about the unfairness of how the whole system works. So, yeah, what we'll be doing is keeping an eye on that. And we hope that they won't manage to actually do, I mean, their systems don't work particularly well, but we hope not to hear of people who have been denied access to basically their life support due to some kind of tech problem with that, you know, the tech system raising a red flag about their access to an office or to help from Centrelink. Yeah, so those are the two bits of hot news coming out this January. So we'll just go to another little 3CR community service announcement here.
3CR Community Radio is dedicated to exploring the issues that affect our future.
Because I think it is something we just need to be talking about.
8:55 AM. Tune in and listen up.
Hi, and you're listening to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on 3CR Community Radio. And, I just covered a couple of sort of topical issues, but now we're going way back in the past. Now, this I'm going to have this as a regular segment on the show. This is the blast from the past. And I've got this from the commonslibrary.org, and it's a section which you can easily, if it sort of... if you find it interesting, you can easily read the whole lot. And it's called The Radical History of Unemployed Activism. And the Commons Library are an amazing resource, which I really recommend. So they had a bit of an event, and so this is some of the information they gathered from this event. And it was the event they had, it was 2014, but they kicked it off with excerpts from Jim Munro's Eyewitness History of the Unemployed Workers Movement in the 1920s and 30s. And Jim described the situation facing the unemployed before the federal government started providing any benefits, which was in 1945. For thousands of people out of work, there was no assistance of any kind except through the Ladies' Benevolent Society. This was a voluntary organisation that existed in practically every suburb and was made up of middle-class women, good-meaning women, a lot of them. Some of them not so good meaning because their husbands owned butcher shops or groceries and they were concerned with getting orders for relief diverted to their own husband's businesses. If you were that desperate and you had to apply for assistance, they would come to your home and they'd go through and say, oh yes, you need assistance, but you're not up against it as yet. You've got a piano there you don't need. You've got more chairs than you require in the house. You sell those things and we'll come back in a fortnight. So they would make you sell up things that were in your home until you were cut down to the bare minimum, and then they would provide assistance. And it's reminded me of someone who was on the bus who I was talking to when I was coming into 3CR. He was saying how he's a victim of the partner income test, and they didn't tell him that he wasn't eligible for any Centrelink payments as he was studying because his partner earned a lot of money. And he said, oh, yeah, they didn't tell me that I couldn't get payments until I'd used up all my savings. Anyway, back to Jim Munro. He says, when you got assistance, it would be a docket written out to go to such and such a grocer and get a basic amount of groceries and so forth. They weren't the only ones on the rating. There were other religious groups too. That was the only assistance there was. Every unemployed group had its own meeting place, a little hall or a shop. We'd have all sorts of speakers on different subjects. We also held street meetings in a different suburb each night. At one point, we'd start having meetings in Swanston Street on a Friday night, We'd start there and then the cops would move us on and we'd go up to Russell Street and then we'd head up to Little Bourke Street. Meanwhile, someone would start in Little Collins Street and when they were done, we'd start in Little Bourke and they'd go up to Little Lonsdale Street and so on. You'd reach a lot of people that way. And so, yeah, that's how that people organised way back in the 1920s, before Zoom, before any of the sort of networks and the systems that we used to, way before. But, yeah, really good face-to-face stuff and, yeah, really important. And I think the way, you know, that what Jim talks about in this little anecdote is just how they were patronised by the people coming into their homes. And I think, unfortunately, that's still happening where if you go to the Salvos in my town, you do have to go through, they question you quite a lot before they're willing to hand over a bag of veggies. And of course, there's always that feeling when you're answering questions from a religious organisation. You just always wonder where their biases are going to come in. So you don't have to sing for your supper exactly, but you have to be put through the mill and ask quite a few questions. And quite insulting that people, you know, were told, "Oh, you don't need a piano because what, you know, music cheers you up when you haven't got much money." Anyway, that's a clip from the Commons Library, The Radical History of Unemployed Activism. So I'll have another one for you next week or the week after. And, yeah, so that's pretty much the end of Breadline today. And just a reminder, yeah, if you're having those hassles, that number for our advocacy line, which operates Monday to Friday, 10 till 2, is 1-800-289-848. And we will be, next week is our show falls on Invasion Day, so we'll be playing a lot of amazing Indigenous music. But before that, it's just a reminder that on the 20th, tomorrow actually, there will be the two commemorations of the execution of Tunaminawait and Mulbohina for the crime of fighting for their country and resisting the colonial occupation. So in my case in Wonsagi, we've got it in the morning at 10 o'clock in Wishart Reserve in Wonsagi, and then 3CR is going to be broadcasting live from the NAM event, which starts at midday, and it starts basically behind the city bars there, and it's quite inspiring, a whole lot of speakers. I've been there numbers of times when I'm not back in Wonsagi, and lots of speakers, and then people usually walk down to Vic Markets where Tunaminawait and Mulbohina were buried in an unmarked grave. So, yeah, really worthwhile to go along to those. So you'll hear from me next week. So this is Jessica signing off from Breadline on 3CR. Bye.
Some people think little girls should be seen and not heard, but I think... Oh, bondage! Up yours! 1, 2, 3, 4! Bye.
Oh, the pillars of society cruise down the road each day. They got the economic wherewithal we can't afford to pay. They got them numbered bank accounts. The system assures they win. They exploit the population. We're on the outside looking in. Them pillars of society drive us like a tool. For them, that's cool. They drive Mercedes, Benz, and Porsches, live Rolls Royce gilt-edged lives. You can tell the affluent from the status symbols that they drive. When you're on the dole queue, they'll tell you to your face, you're a blood, you're on their system, and a blight in the human race. Them pillars of society drive us like a tool, for them that's cool. Well, they grace the social pages, they always make the news. At the church on Sunday, the crowd in the front pews. There's a hierarchy of dominance with a power at the top. And if you think you found the magic key, you find they changed the locks. Them pillars of society drive us like a tool, for them that's cool. Walking down the freeway on their dotted line. I'd like to make decisions, but they won't allow the time. It says religion is the opium. I say the media's the cocaine. 24 hours of propaganda, drugging my poor brain. Them pillars of society drive us like a tool. For them, that's cool. Titles of status and dominance on their progeny and their class. Sir, Your Honor, Your Grace, Your Highness were made to polish and lick their brass. But you, my friend, can be like them if you have their $1 million fee. But you find a system designed to keep us in line and walk in on our knees. Them pillars of society drive us like a tool, for them that's cruel.
When I was new to Melbourne, I found a Food Not Bombs flyer on the road, and I had like this feast with a carrot, and carrots are my favourite vegetable. Yeah, I think they were asking for help doing stuff, and I got in touch.
We, I guess, rescue food
that would otherwise go to waste.
I like the aspect of sharing food and not making anyone feel obligated to pay anything for it.
We make a real point at Food Not Bombs of involving everyone who wants to be involved in whichever part they want to be involved in.
For more information, go to FNB.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.